Welcome to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160 with your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya. Sit back, relax, listen, and learn about a unique approach to mental health. And now, here's your host of the Whole Psychiatry Hour, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome, folks. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm Dr. Bob Hedaya, your host on the Whole Psychiatry Hour. We're here every Sunday at 11 a.m. That's 1160 at 11, during which time we're going to explore the many facets of life that affect your mental health or the mental health of someone that you care about. More importantly, it is my goal on the Whole Psychiatry Hour to assist you in finding real, practical solutions to the mental health problems you face, solutions that go beyond the traditional therapies and medication approaches, beyond just talk therapy and symptom reduction. Today, we're going to examine the intimate, inextricable linkage between nutrition and depression. Specifically, we're going to talk with Kevin Passero, a naturopathic physician, about finding the diet that's right for people who suffer from depressive disorders. Is it Atkins, South Beach, The Zone, Weight Watchers, the carbohydrate addict's diet, or is it none of these? Are there other ways of understanding what you need to eat to improve your mental health? What's right for you? We're all bombarded by all of these things, and there's always a new diet on the horizon. Today, we're going to cut to the chase and figure out exactly what are the principles that you need to follow that will help you treat and deal with your depression. We first explored the connection between nutrition and mental health on our December 4th, 2005 program when Kevin Passero was my guest. If, after listening to today's program, you want to know more, I strongly suggest that you listen to the previous program, as the information contained in this December 4th program is complementary to the information in today's show. Both of these interviews are permanently archived and available for you to listen to on my website, wholepsych.com, W-H-O-L-E-P, like Peter, S-Y-C-H.com. And you can also find them on WMET1160.com for the next several weeks. But first, for those of you who are listening for the first time, I'd like to introduce myself and the whole psychiatry concept. I am a board-certified psychiatrist and psychopharmacologist in clinical practice in Chevy Chase, Maryland. I've been certified by the American Board of Adolescent Psychiatry, the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology, and I've been certified in clinical psychopharmacology. I tell you this because I want you to understand that I'm well-versed in mainstream medicine, which I believe is necessary and useful, but limited. I want you to understand when I get on my whole psychiatry soapbox that I do not suggest that you throw the baby out with the bathwater. I am not suggesting that modern psychiatry is all bad, but I know from my reading of the literature, and there are thousands of studies that support my position, I'm strongly convinced that mainstream psychiatry cannot, in its current practice of relying solely on medication and therapies, modern psychiatry cannot help 30 to 60% of people with mental illness. That means that one out of every three people, to as many as two out of every three people, are not helped by mainstream psychiatry. These are not my statistics, folks. These are published statistics. Today, I was reading in the Wall Street Journal about Mr. Zankel. Apparently, Mr. Zankel was a very successful 73-year-old Wall Streeter, quite successful. But in the article in the January 17th, 2006 Wall Street Journal, they detail a course of depression that he suffered starting in his mid-20s. The frequency of his depressions increased, and tragically, in July of this year, he committed suicide. What's so disturbing about this article is that he was treated with traditional psychiatry, medication after medication, psychotherapy, and one physician suggested he increase his involvement in pleasurable activities like hobbies. There was one sentence in which they talked about eliminating the possibility of medical disorders. But the truth of the matter is that the standard approach is pretty much to give a cursory examination and maybe do some very basic medical tests. It's quite disturbing, and while I don't know whether Mr. Zankel was suffering from hormonal problems or nutritional problems, it is quite disturbing to think that he, along with probably thousands of other people, are being treated with the current model when loads of research exists proving that other factors are involved in the causation of mental illness. Today we're going to talk about diet and nutrition. Okay, aside from my board certifications, I'm the author of a couple of books, Understanding Biological Psychiatry, as well as the Antidepressant Survival Program, and these books reflect the evolution of my understanding of mental health problems and their optimal treatment. I teach at Georgetown University. I teach hormones and mental health, something called psychoendocrinology. And last and not least by any measure, I'm a practitioner of functional medicine. This discipline looks at metabolic pathways of the body and how to normalize them. And, of course, this is relevant to your mental health concerns. So whole psychiatry looks at the interaction between mind and body, the immune system, hormones, nutrition, genetics, liver, diet, the gut, lifestyle, spirituality, the places we live in, environmental factors, toxins, culture, politics, all of it. On a practical level, this means that diet, nutrition, and all of these factors weigh in heavily in the outcome of your mental health treatment. Let's consider diet and nutrition, since that's the topic of today's program. I regularly teach about diet and nutrition and psychiatry, and I have a PowerPoint presentation that I make regularly, which reviews over 100 studies on the topic, and there are thousands of studies. These are studies that are published in mainstream psychiatric literature that prove the quality of your food, whether you digest your food, whether you absorb what you eat. All of these things affect mental health outcomes. Not only that, but some people may have higher needs for certain nutrients. When we get back, we're going to be talking with Dr. Kevin Passero about nutritional needs and figuring out exactly what kind of approach you can take to improve your mental health. This is Dr. Robert Hedaya on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET 1160 AM.
If getting life insurance is on your things to do list, now you can get a term life policy in just 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get up to $150,000 of term life insurance if you qualify through Jefferson National Life Insurance Company. Call now for a free quote, 1-866-612-3600. With Jefferson National, there's no medical exam, no long forms, and no agent will visit you. Just complete a short application over the phone. If you qualify, your coverage starts right away. That's instant term life coverage in one simple call. Call Jefferson National at 1-866-612-3600. Getting life insurance has never been easier to cross off your list. Contains limitations. Based in Dallas, Texas, Jefferson National issues term life under form number JNLSEL03 or a state variation. Call Jefferson National now. 1-866-612-3600. That's 1-866-612-3600.
Attention men and women suffering from hair loss. Now, with Avacor, a world leader in hair regrowth, you don't have to be bald, even if you have a family history of hair loss. Here's Dr. Mark Goodman, board-certified dermatologist.
The main reason for thinning hair and baldness is hereditary hair loss. Just because there is a family history of hair loss doesn't mean you have to suffer. Avacor is specially formulated to reverse hereditary hair loss and regrow new healthy hair. Our formula targets the hair follicle to effectively stop hair loss and stimulate new hair growth. Before you consider expensive transplant surgery, remember, Avacor is FDA approved to regrow new healthy hair for men and women.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917.
this is Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler of Aerosmith for Red. You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party down. Just don't get in that 2,000-pound bullet when you're done and cocked. And please don't drink and drive.
I'm the one that jaded you.
A reminder that friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message brought to you by the Ad Council, U.S. Department of Transportation, National Association of Broadcasters, and RAD.
Talk Radio, WNET 1160, is your station for intelligent talk and a little bit of wackiness.
Greasebag gets you started in the morning at 6,
followed by Tony Snow at 9,
J.T. Ballard at noon,
G. Gordon Liddy at 2,
Linda Chavez on your drive home,
the Bauer and Rose Show in the evenings,
and Alan Combs late nights.
Your station for talk, WNET 1160,
and online at WNET1160.com.
Let's get back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. We're going to be talking shortly with Dr. Kevin Passero, a naturopathic physician based in Annapolis, Maryland, about diet and depression. But before I bring on Dr. Passero, let's look at just one group of studies on the essential fatty acid fish oils. Many very large population-based studies have shown that adequate dietary intake of fish oils can have an impact on the frequency and severity of depression, as well as, get this, guilt, suicide, and hopelessness. Now, how is it possible that fish oil can make you feel less guilty? Well, it turns out that fish oils change how nerve cells in the brain function, as well as how the immune system functions, and fish oils are critical parts of the mitochondria, which help the brain cells to produce energy from food. They affect as well how your body makes myelin, which is critical in nerve cell function. So it stands to reason that if something helps your brain function better, your nerve cells function better, you will be able to function at a higher level, and the higher functions of the brain, such as reasoning and emotional stability, will be enhanced. This then enables people to cope better with life stresses. Food is medicine. One thing people don't recognize, however, is that it can take as long as 18 months for fish oils to have their full effect, since it takes about 12 to 18 months for the oils to become incorporated into the slowly changing nerve cells of the brain. So it's critical that you get your diet right so your brain may function optimally. And today we're going to talk with Dr. Kevin Passero, a naturopathic physician, about diet. Dr. Passero can be reached at his website, www.healthtides.com, like the tides of your health, or his phone number, if you're interested in contacting him, is 443-433-5540. That's 443-433-5540. 5540. Dr. Passero is a naturopathic physician. He's had a BA in environmental biology. He was trained at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine in Oregon, which is one of the world's preeminent educational centers for natural healing. He's a medical editor for the Life Extension Foundation, a consultant for the Village Green Apothecary, and he regularly lectures on a diversity of topics. He is in practice in Annapolis, and McLean, Virginia, and I welcome you to the show, Kevin.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
Thanks for being with us. So let's quickly talk for people who don't know. What exactly is a naturopathic physician?
Sure. Naturopathic physicians are very similar to your regular primary care physician. The training in naturopathic medical school follows a curriculum very similar in ways of basic sciences, basic diagnostic skills, and education. Where the naturopathic physician differs is that we also get training in, obviously, the natural therapeutics. We take over 2 years of training in botanical medicine, which is the use of herbs to treat conditions, homeopathic medicine, chiropractic techniques, Chinese medicine, nutrition. So we get a very vast array of natural therapeutics as well.
Okay, so that's great. So you come to the table with a whole different set of tools than the standard physician that are oriented in the natural in the natural direction. Can you start with defining for the audience what is a protein, what is a carbohydrate, what is a fat? I think I might have mentioned on the last show that I had someone who thought that Cheez-Its crackers was a dairy product. So I think there's some confusion out there. And if you can just get the basics down for us, that would be great.
Sure. Well, the true definition, I mean, a protein is basically a large complex molecule comprised mainly of long amino acid chains. Now, what that means in reality is proteins are usually the ones that are least confused with other things. It's your fish, your chicken, your turkey, anything that is a large amino acid structure.
Eggs.
Eggs, yes. Dairy products have protein in them, but they also have fat. Now, a lot of these things don't come in nature individually. They are combined in our food sources.
Okay. So proteins are fish, meat, eggs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Some in dairy products. And the importance of them is that they are the main source of amino acids. And amino acids are very important for our bodies, as we'll talk about later, to make things that affect, let's say, our mental function, and also for muscle building, have many different effects.
Okay. Now, how about carbohydrates? Can you tell us, how do we know when something is a carbohydrate?
Well, definition of carbohydrates, they're basically sugars linked together. A simple carbohydrate is a term people have heard. That is a very short chain of sugar. It's usually one or two sugar molecules put together, all pretty much based on glucose. So something like the sugar in fruit, fructose, is considered a simple sugar. The sugar in milk, lactose, is considered a simple sugar. But then there's other carbohydrates that are very long chains, more complex. So we look at even like the shell of a crab is a complex carbohydrate. Though some carbohydrates aren't digestible for humans because we can't break down those strong bonds. But basically, they give us our form of readily available sugars.
So we can say there are simple carbohydrates, which would be cookies, cakes, sugars, crackers, things like that, fruit. And then there are complex carbohydrates, which would be mainly the vegetables.
And
whole grains?
Yeah, and whole grains. Whole grains have – the reason why they're whole is they still have the husk on them. Mm-hmm. The husk is a harder type material. It's a more complex carbohydrate. The refined grains, the husk is removed, and you're access to more of the shorter chain carbohydrates, simpler sugars basically.
Okay. And now can you tell us a little bit about the fats just to round this out?
Sure. Fats are just a generalized name for lipids in the body. Lipids are everything from cholesterol that we make and that we consume to other fats like fish oils, which you mentioned earlier. All fats are pretty much a derivative of some sort of fatty acid. Now, fats are important. Like you talked about, many fats are incorporated into our cell membranes, into our nerves, very important for physiological function, but also fats have almost twice the energy-producing capacity as carbohydrates or proteins. So they're one of the body's best sources for energy production, and that's why we store our excess energy as fat in our adipose tissue.
Okay, that's very helpful. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Passero on the Whole Psychiatry Hour, WMET 1160. So, Kevin, I like to think of these things as actually a stool, you know, and you might have four legs on the stool, mm-hmm. and, you know, you have your proteins, your carbs, your fats, mm-hmm. your vitamins, your minerals, and we need every leg in the stool in order to be able to stay seated sure. without falling on our face. And that's how I explain it to people. Would you say that all proteins are equal?
Well, I would say when we look at proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, proteins are on the most equal playing field. When you're looking at different kinds of proteins, if we're looking at meat origins, we're looking more at specifics of what kinds of fats does that protein contain or what are some other aspects. Now, meat, I think animal protein is a more readily available source of amino acids and certain nutrients than, let's say, protein from beans or vegetables. They come with other things in them. They're not as much of a whole protein and don't have as many amino acids.
I've heard that people who eat a lot of beans can be deficient in certain things. What would those things be?
B12 and folate are two, especially the B12 is one of the major things that you have to worry about, let's say, in a vegan diet, which is no animal products at all. If a vegetarian is consuming dairy, there is some B12 in there. B12 as a vitamin is very difficult to get, and it's the most readily available from protein,
okay,
now, animal protein.
the carbohydrates and fats, are all carbs created equal? Are all fats created equal?
No, all carbs definitely are not created equal, and that's what we're going to look at as far as simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. The simple carbohydrates tend to they have what's called the glycemic index, which is a measure of how quickly a food, we're going to look in this case specifically at carbohydrates, gets turned into sugar in your body. So at the end of the day, whether you're eating a piece of bread or it be a candy bar, it's all going to end up broken down as sugar. The question is, how fast does that happen? And the reason why that's important is because depending on how fast that happens, that can create a dramatic cascade of physiological events in the body, looking at insulin release, which affects fat storage. And that's where we're going to get into later, I believe, talking about some of these different diets. We're going to look at why all this low-carb craze is going on and physiologically how that equates to what kinds of carbs you're choosing to eat.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin, what are the nutritional ingredients, if we can call them that, that are necessary to make dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine? These are the neurotransmitters many people have heard about that are seem to be linked to depression.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as you know, a lot of the major pharmaceutical medications target these neurotransmitters right now. I think it was reading something on the CDC, the number one prescribed medication for people between 18 and 44 is antidepressants, mm-hmm. mainly these new wave of antidepressants, the SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And all of these neurotransmitters are based on amino acids. And these amino acids are mainly derived, ideally, from the diet. We're looking at tryptophan as the main precursor for serotonin, and we're looking at tyrosine as the main precursor for dopamine and for epinephrine and norepinephrine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the norepinephrine, in my thinking, is involved with energy, in a sense, brain energy, mm-hmm. we'll say. So too little norepinephrine, you're not really alert. Too much norepinephrine, you have panic. Dopamine is involved in pleasure. Mm-hmm. Initiative, motivation, and serotonin can be involved in anxiety and mood regulation as well as obsessiveness and impulsivity. And it's not really a, gee, do I have too much? Do I have too little? It's really about how your body regulates it. It's kind of like a thermostat. You know, a good thermostat keeps your temperature between 68 and 72. Mm-hmm. If you have a bad thermostat, maybe the temperature goes too high mm-hmm. in the summer or too low in the winter, one or the other. So what we're getting at here is that diet can have an impact, does have an impact, not can, but does mm-hmm. have an impact on neurotransmitter levels. And in fact, there are studies that show that people, even people on antidepressants, when they're deprived of these amino acids that you're talking mm-hmm. about, tryptophan, tyrosine, actually the antidepressant stops working in 60% of the cases within 4 days. Mm-hmm. And if you put the amino acid back in the diet, the antidepressant starts working again. So clearly, this is it's like a cornerstone of mental health. Let's talk about each of these things, and we're going to get into it in detail when you come back. Let's talk about what are the essential ingredients to make serotonin? What vitamins, amino acids, minerals, etc. are needed?
Sure. Well, as we mentioned, the main amino acid that serotonin is derived from is tryptophan. Now, tryptophan has to go through a few enzymatic reactions in order to become serotonin. And what it needs for that is B6, vitamin B6, and vitamin B6 in its activated form. Now, in order for the body to activate vitamin B6, it needs magnesium. So we're already getting into a couple of different vitamins and minerals that we need in order to run these enzymatic pathways to make serotonin from tryptophan.
Mm-hmm. So we need vitamin B6, we need magnesium, mm-hmm. and then how about tyrosine? What do we need to make from tyrosine to make dopamine and norepinephrine?
Some of the specific ones for tyrosine, also B6. B6 is an incredibly important vitamin for a lot of enzymatic reactions, but also needed is vitamin C. Because we need B6, we're going to need the magnesium again. And something called SAMe is another one for the conversion of norepinephrine to epinephrine. And that is derived from another amino acid, methionine, which is also found in the diet.
So there are lots of things that we need. This is the whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. We're talking with Kevin Passero, about diet and depression. When we get back, we're going to talk about what foods you can eat to get these nutrients and more.
Homeowners, if your resolution for 2006 is to save more money, how about reducing your mortgage payment up to 35%? It's easy with Quicken Loans. Just write down this number, 800-316-5711. Quicken Loans can show you how to cut your mortgage payment up to 35% so you can make your money work harder, like paying off high-interest credit card bills, affording home improvements, or increasing your retirement savings. Just call 800-316-5711. With over 150 exclusive loan products, the mortgage experts at Quicken Loans have something for you. This could be the most valuable call you make all year. Find out how you can cut your monthly mortgage payment up to 35%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-316-5711. 800-316-5711. Quicken Loans, America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-316-5711.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow lines in the web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than Greg will be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
If getting life insurance is on your things to do list, now you can get a term life policy in just 10 minutes. 10 minutes to get up to $150,000 of term life insurance if you qualify through Jefferson National Life Insurance Company. Call now for a free quote, 1-866-612-3600. With Jefferson National, there's no medical exam, no long forms, and no agent will visit you. Just complete a short application over the phone. If you qualify, your coverage starts right away. That's instant term life coverage in one simple call. Call Jefferson National at 1-866-612-3600. Getting life insurance has never been easier to cross off your list. Contains limitations. Based in Dallas, Texas, Jefferson National issues term life under form number JNLSEL03 or a state variation. Call Jefferson National now. 1-866-612-3600. That's 1-866-612-3600.
The only place in Washington to hear the voices of Fox Radio. Talk Radio, WMET 1160, your station for Tony Snow. Weekday mornings, 9 to noon. Alan Combs, late nights from 10 to 1. Grease Man in the morning. J.D. Ballard at noon. G. Gordon Liddy at 2. Linda Chavez at 4. And Bauer and Rose at 6. Intelligent talk with a splash of grease. Talk Radio, WMET 1160. Online at WMET1160.com.
Welcome back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here again is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio 1160. I'm your host, Bob Hedaya. While we talked on our December 4th, 2005 program with Dr. Passero, he helped guide us towards an appreciation of some natural approaches that are useful in childhood depression and anxiety. Today we're talking with Dr. Passero again to discuss different types of diet and how diet can control or help control your depression and how to know which one is right for helping yourself or someone you love come out of the depression. As well, we're going to talk about what pitfalls to avoid when working on a new approach towards nutrition. Kevin, we were talking about the foods that help you make tryptophan or help you make serotonin. And how about tyrosine and dopamine and norepinephrine? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can say a word about vegetables and why they're important.
Sure. Well, there's no one specific food that I would target for tryptophan or tyrosine. I think the most important concept to understand when looking at your diet is making sure you're getting a good variety of protein. So we want to make sure that we're getting protein and protein in a good form, because we don't want to be contributing to other things like heart disease looking at saturated fats. So good sources of protein, I think, are things that most people have heard of. The leaner meats like chicken and turkey. Fish is a great source of protein, especially the deep sea cold water fish like salmon, because they're high in the essential fatty acids that you spoke of earlier.
Let me interrupt. Sure. What about mercury? Isn't that a risk?
Yeah. First, salmon tends to be the best on the scale. The high mercury fishes, usually the larger the fish, the higher the mercury content. Tuna tends to be very high in mercury, certain types of tuna, swordfish, shark, tilefish is another one. Usually the salmons are pretty good. Now, to get the essential fatty acids from them, you have to make sure that they are the wild salmon and not necessarily the farm-raised salmon. And this goes into a whole other aspect of how they raise the fish in the farm setting that doesn't lend itself to make for the fish to make those really good essential fatty acids.
Are you aware of any studies where they have actually looked at the level of good oils in farm-raised versus wild-caught salmon?
I couldn't cite any studies off the top of my head, no, but I'm pretty sure it's well documented.
I think it makes logical sense. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that they feed the farm-raised fish cereal.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't think salmon naturally eat Cheerios, do you?
No, don't think so.
So I think
what it comes from is, you know, anything that has its diet based on the green, on something green, usually ends up making the omega-3s. So salmon's food chain in the wild is based on algae. So therefore, it makes the omega-3s. When it's farm-raised and they're fed grains, it's not going to make the omega-3s. It's going to make the omega-6s, because that's what's contained in the grain product to start.
I think it's interesting, because when you go to a restaurant, at least most of the time they'll say farm-raised salmon, and it almost sounds like it's better.
Yeah.
But in fact, it probably isn't. Trout, halibut. Those are good fish.
Yeah,
as well?
Those tend to be lower on the mercury scale. The CDC has on their website a link where you can actually look at the different levels of mercury in different fish right now. They have that all sort of laid out in data.
Great. You're listening to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Passero about diet and depression. So, Kevin, how about magnesium and B6? First question is, where can you get lots of magnesium? And second question is, where can you get B6, and can you get too much B6?
Yeah, you can get too much B6. Very, very high doses can cause problems with peripheral neuropathy or nerve issues. Usually you only run into that if you're supplementing very, very high doses. From the diet, it's relatively difficult to get too much B6. B vitamins mainly comes from fish. It comes from fruits and vegetables, especially the leafy green veggies. Whole grains have B6 in them. Eggs have B vitamins in them, as well as dairy products and other meat products. So the B vitamins are pretty widespread. Magnesium, definitely dark leafy greens. So we're talking spinach, chard, kale, collard greens, anything that's dark roughage usually tends to have good magnesium content, as well as seeds. I think the one thing in nature that has the highest level of magnesium is pumpkin seeds. So some of the other seeds as well, beans have a good source of magnesium in them. So making sure you eat your vegetables as well. And that's where we get into rounding out the diet. We've been talking about proteins and the importance of needing proteins to get your tryptophan and tyrosine to derive these neurotransmitters. But you need to get adequate amounts of fruits and vegetables to add these other vitamin and mineral nutrient cofactors, so your body can turn those amino acids actually into these end products, neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're talking with Kevin Passero, who can be reached at www.healthtides, like the tides of your health, .com. And his phone number is 443-433-5540. Kevin, how about vegetables? How do you rate vegetables versus fruits? People always lump them together. In my mind, they're not lumpable.
Right. I would agree 100%. I think vegetables, the diet should be much more skewed towards vegetables than to fruit. Fruit does have important vitamins and fiber in it, but vegetable has just as much or more. What vegetables also don't have is the sugar, the simple fructose sugars, which are going to influence the way your blood sugar reacts more, which is going to affect insulin and other physiological reactions. The vegetables should be probably the focus of somebody's diet, as well as having with that a good source of protein, and also if they would like to have some fruit as well, fruit can be incorporated too.
What do you think about juicing? I'm very impressed with the results of juicing because it can concentrate mm-hmm. the nutrients. What's your experience?
I agree with you. Juicing can be phenomenal. I think that certain people misinterpret what good juicing is. They'll say, yeah, I've been juicing, and I ask them what they're juicing, and their juice contains apples, carrots, and beets, which sounds really good and really healthy. But when you look at it, those are all very high sugar vegetables. So if you think about how many apples it takes to make a cup of apple juice, it's mm-hmm. a lot of apples. Mm-hmm. Could you ever imagine eating that many apples at one sitting? Mm-hmm. There's no way. Nature has perfectly combined the sugar in that apple with the fiber to make it balanced. When you start juicing it, you start just extracting and getting the sugar without the fiber. So I tell people to balance their juicing. They should be focusing things on like the spinach juice and the wheatgrass juice and the beet greens instead of just the beets themselves. All of the green things, the spinach, the kales, those are the things that the juice should be focused on. And if you'd like to sweeten it a little bit to make it palatable by adding maybe a couple apples or some carrots, I think that's a much better balance.
That makes sense to me. So maybe we shouldn't call it juicing. We should call it vegetabling. How about folic acid? You mentioned that you can get it from green leafy vegetables, and mm-hmm. B12 can be also gotten from meat and eggs, things like that. But have you noticed that when people are older, it's harder for them to absorb the B12? Have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So I think it's worth saying you can take in specifically B12, really, mm-hmm. as much as you need in your diet, but many times as people get older, they have trouble absorbing it. And then with folic acid also, there's a problem with converting it to mm-hmm. the active form that I think 5 to 12% of the population has that difficulty.
Yep.
That can have an impact on depression,
mm-hmm.
and that's worth getting tested for. That can be done by a genetic test mm-hmm. called M, like Mary, T, HFR. You can ask your doctor about that. The thing that I've also noticed is that people coming from different parts of the country have different mineral levels in their blood. So, for example, if I have people who come from Pennsylvania, they're never deficient in zinc. Mm. But in the Washington area, it's very, very common to be deficient in zinc. And I haven't figured out if it's the source of the vegetables, whether it's the soil
mm-hmm.
or the stress
mm-hmm.
causing an increased requirement. Have you noticed anything like that in your practice?
Yeah, I haven't noticed that particularly, but it makes a lot of sense. Definitely, I think some of it must be due to the soil content, what's going on with the soil and how the farming practices have been where those vegetables were raised. Too much mm-hmm. over-farming will deplete the soil of its vital nutrients. So maybe in Pennsylvania they have better farming practices,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe it is stress, because stress will tax all of our body stores of the B vitamins, the minerals, the zincs, the magnesium, because we're making more stress hormones and we're needing more neurotransmitters to compensate for those stress hormones. So we burn through all of our minerals and vitamins faster.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Passero, a naturopathic physician, about diet and depression and what kind of diet you need to help yourself recover from depression. Kevin, how about caffeine? How does that affect our nutritional needs?
Well, caffeine gives you a boost basically by being an artificial stimulant. It increases your levels of adrenal stress hormones. This will drain some of our nutrients, specifically B vitamins, because your body has to make more of those stress hormones, and your body is going to have to produce more serotonin and other calming neurotransmitters to keep you somewhat balanced. So it really puts a taxation on all of our nutrient stores, specifically B vitamins and magnesium.
This is Dr. Robert Hedaya. You're listening to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. We're talking with Dr. Kevin Passero, and when we come back, we're going to talk about studies that talk about insulin and what kind of sample diets you can use and how to make a quick, nutritious breakfast and lunch. This is Dr. Robert Hedaya on the Whole Psychiatry Hour.
Attention men and women suffering from hair loss. Now, with Avacor, a world leader in hair regrowth, you don't have to be bald, even if you have a family history of hair loss. Here's Dr. Mark Goodman, board-certified dermatologist.
The main reason for thinning hair and baldness is hereditary hair loss. Just because there is a family history of hair loss doesn't mean you have to suffer. Avacor is specially formulated to reverse hereditary hair loss and regrow new healthy hair. Our formula targets the hair follicle to effectively stop hair loss and stimulate new hair growth. Before you consider expensive transplant surgery, remember, Avacor is FDA approved to regrow new healthy hair for men and women.
We're giving away a free month of Avacor with all of today's orders. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-449-8917. That's 800-449-8917.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, ref, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Come on now, you have to be tired of it. How it looks and feels, red, scaly, itchy skin. I'm talking about the pain and embarrassment of psoriasis, eczema, seborrheic dermatitis, even stubborn dandruff. Take a look in the mirror. If you want to change your life, you need to call Acadia Skincare today. Acadia's revolutionary skincare products will help restore your skin to a normal, healthy appearance in less than 10 days. You'll even see and feel a dramatic difference in 24 hours. Acadia's topical active ingredients are effective, safe, non-greasy, and FDA approved. Best of all, they work. You can't buy a more effective over-the-counter treatment. Acadia even has a risk-free trial offer. You have nothing to lose but your problem skin. So don't let psoriasis, eczema, or seborrheic dermatitis slow you down. Forget about all those products that you tried. That was in the past. This is now.
You need to call Acadia Skincare today at 1-800-870-9643. You owe it to yourself. That's 1-800-870-9643. Don't suffer any longer. Call now. 1-800-870-9643.
Tune in. Log on. Stay connected from anywhere in the world. Talk Radio WMET 1160. Your station for talk. He's online at WMET1160.com. Get caught up on the latest news. Check out the program schedule. Post your comments to the WMET blog. And whether you're sitting in the office or you're on the road on business, you can listen live to Grease Man, Tony Snow, J.D. Ballard, G. Gordon Liddy, Linda Chavez, and Bauer and Rose. It's all online at WMET1160.com.
Let's get back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160. Here is your host, Dr. Bob Hedaya.
Welcome back to the Whole Psychiatry Hour at WMET Talk Radio 1160 AM. I'm your host, Bob Hedaya, and I want to remind you that you can reach me at www.wholesych.com. And remember, you can listen to this discussion again or our previous programs if you're interested, for example, in childhood nutrition and mental health, which we discussed earlier on December 4th with Dr. Passero. I'd recommend you listen to the archive program on my website, wholesych.com. That program provided an excellent review of some nutritional basics that everyone, every parent certainly, and teachers, with or without mental health problems should know. As you know, the goal of Whole Psychiatry is to open your mind to new ways of looking at mental health problems. And today we're trying to give you a background on the importance of diet so you can understand the foundation and the principles that an important diet stands on and how it can affect your mood and your mental health. Today we're talking with Dr. Kevin Passero, a naturopathic physician in Annapolis, Maryland, who's helping us look deeper into your diet and how it may help you get out of depression. And Dr. Passero can be reached at www.healthtides, like the tides of your health, .com. And his phone number is a little tricky, 443-433-5540. That's 443-433-5540. Kevin, we were talking a little bit about glucose and insulin, mm-hmm. and I think it's worth giving people an idea of what we're talking about. So when we eat foods, they're broken down, ultimately, mm-hmm. always broken down into sugars. Mm-hmm. And how quickly they're broken down depends on what type of food we're eating. So mm-hmm. if we eat a balanced meal, mm-hmm. then the carbs, f- fruits, vegetables, whole grains are pretty quickly broken down into sugar, right?
In a balanced meal, it will be slower than if you were just eating the carbohydrates by themselves.
So that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing.
Okay. And then what comes next? What helps keep our blood sugar in the normal range? After our body uses the sugar and the glucose, the carbs, what does our body use next?
Well, insulin, I think, is what you might be alluding to, is what helps keep blood sugar under control. So it is our body's way of maintaining a good balanced blood sugar. Depending on how much or how quickly and how much sugar we introduce into our body at one time will dictate the insulin response. Insulin can be thought of as your fat storage hormone. It takes all of the excess sugar and excess energy and stores it in our body for later use as fat.
Okay. So now after we have used our carbohydrates, next we use our protein.
Right.
Right. And I like to think of the sugars being used up in the first half hour, mm-hmm. 45 minutes, the carbohydrates, and mm-hmm. then the proteins by then are being changed into glucose, mm-hmm. and then after maybe an hour long, maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours later, the fats maybe come into play, keeping our blood sugar steady
right.
for another 2 hours or so, if everything's working okay. Mm-hmm. And then maybe after 4 hours, 5 hours, depending on how stressed we are, mm-hmm. right, and what our needs are, then maybe we're ready for the next meal.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
So, yet you're saying something very important, which is that stress has a marked effect on our nutritional needs. Can mm-hmm. you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. All stress produces a reaction from us, whether it's stress in our normal thinking of, let's say, job stress or money stress or relationship stress or even physical stress like from a surgery. It creates stress hormones which put our body into a form of overdrive. Now, some stress is good, and our bodies are designed to handle some, but chronic stress puts us in a state of imbalance. It depletes our bodies of vital nutrients and minerals because they get diverted more to making the stress hormones. So we have less ability to make the neurotransmitters that balance out the stress hormones, and we end up in a state of chronic stress. And that's why mm-hmm. people are under chronic stress, things start to go haywire. We know that there are links between stress and the immune system. People's immune systems crash. There's studies on medical students showing they're much more susceptible to viruses and getting sick when they're under stress than when they're not. Autoimmune diseases, cancer rates. There's so much of the body's physiology is related to stress, and everybody knows how they feel mentally when they're stressed out. People are much more likely to experience panic attacks or to be irritable or anxious or have higher levels of anxiety.
That makes a lot of sense. So I like to reduce things to simple metaphors. So mm-hmm. I think as you're talking about a car, of course this is a male metaphor, right? But a male, so, you know, that works. A car driving around a racetrack, say the Indy 500, you're going to require a lot more maintenance, right? You're mm-hmm. going to be using those engine parts. You're going to wear them out. You have to replace them. And it's the same thing in our bodies. You're under stress. You're using caffeine. You're working hard. You're worrying. You're not sleeping right. You're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Your requirements are not the requirements of the standard non-stressed person,
sure.
right? They're much higher than the RDA on those vitamin bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really reflected in the standards.
Right? No, the RDAs are set for, you know, a generally healthy male between the ages of 18 and 24.
Somebody living in the Caribbean.
Right.
Okay, well, most of us in the Washington area are not spending that much time in the Caribbean, so we have to take that into account. Now, let's drive this point home,
mm-hmm.
okay? Somebody listening is depressed, or someone they love is depressed. Kevin Passero, you're talking with us here on WMET 1160 AM, the Whole Psychiatry Hour. Kevin, tell us what kind of diet you would recommend. Should they go to Atkins? Should they do the Zone diet? Should they do the South Beach diet?
Sure.
What should they do?
Well, out of those three popular diets, I think the one that I would be more likely to recommend would be the Zone diet, somewhere between the Zone and the South Beach diet. The Atkins diet in and of itself, according to Dr. Atkins, was a fairly well-rounded diet. I think in the way that our society has now interpreted it, it's very much based on protein, 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 and not focusing or discerning the best or the worst types. So I think everybody knows that it can't be healthy to eat bacon for breakfast, a burger without a bun for lunch, and a steak for dinner without any vegetables or fruit. When we look at the zone diet, it breaks it down into a little bit more of a logical, I think it's a little bit more logical in general. So they say, for example, take a classic dinner plate and divide it into three equal parts. One part should be the protein portion, which should be anywhere from 2 to 4 ounces at each meal, and the other two parts should be a combination of fruits and vegetables. So you're getting the majority of your carbohydrates basically mainly from vegetables and some from fruits, and you're balancing it always with a good source of protein. And the zone diet, Dr. Sears also very much recommends the use of fish oils concurrently with this diet, which makes it a very well-balanced blend of fats, protein, and carbs.
So let me say a couple of things. Number one, on the Atkins diet, one of the things that concerns me, aside from the cholesterol issue, and there are questions in the literature itself about how valid this is and how safe it is, but my concern as a psychiatrist is that people who follow this closely, as it is promulgated now, they are supposed to go into a state called ketosis, meaning your body starts running out of sugar, and we know that the brain operates on sugar, glucose. When you run out of glucose, your body makes ketones, and the ketones are things that the brain can use, but not very efficiently. So your brain is in a semi-starved state. I would say for people who are depressed, this is not a good diet. I would say I would agree with you. The zone approach, is, in a general sense, not to get caught up in all the details and measuring and weighing and everything. I like what you said, a third protein, two-thirds complex carbohydrates with some fish oils. What quick menu for breakfast, a fast menu for breakfast. People don't have time to get a good breakfast. What can they do?
I really like supplementing breakfast with a good quality protein powder or protein shake, making a nice smoothie. It's a really nice way to start the day. I have some there are a lot of good products out there that have a multi-mineral or multivitamin assay in the protein powder. You can add to it fresh berries like blueberries, which have the highest antioxidant properties of almost any fruit.
Okay, let me stop you there. How about real food? What should I have?
Real food. Breakfast, it's going to require some preparation. Things like egg white omelets with a little bit of sautéed spinach if you have time on the weekends. A hard-boiled egg is a good start.
Hard-boiled egg with an apple?
Hard-boiled egg with
and
an apple.
And some fish oil caps.
That's a great start to the great, simple, easy start to the day.
Thanks, Kevin, for being with us.
Sure. Thank you, Bob. It was my pleasure.
Dr. Kevin Passero, who can be reached at healthtides.com. That's like the tides of your health. And that's it for today's Whole Psychiatry Hour on WMET 1160 AM. Remember, you can contact me at wholepsych.com. Hope you learned something today and look forward to being with you next Sunday at 11 a.m. on WMET 1160. We're going to be talking with Terry Kester about what his experiences have been as a person who has been in the mental health care system. We may also cover some political issues related to mental health care as well. It promises to be a very diverse program as we continue to explore all of the tools used in the whole psychiatry approach to mental health. This is your host, Dr. Robert Hedaya, reminding you to trust your body and your mind's instinct towards balance and health. Remain focused on your goals, not your obstacles, and your goals will be yours. And finally, if you or someone you know is suffering from a mental health problem, think outside the box. Remember, there are alternative solutions beyond just medication and psychotherapy. Keep thinking, keep working at it, and you'll get better.
Medical advice, opinions, and the references cited are for information only and are not intended to diagnose or prescribe. For your specific diagnosis and treatment, consult your personal doctor or healthcare provider.